all over the world has specified this day as being a day that to give towards this ministry. So I've left some sheets of paper that you could take with you to remind you if you would want to give something. There's a little basket out there for you to give. So make sure that you consider putting, you know, something forth that in the next few weeks, and then I'll get that to them. But also, too, you know, very special day. It's not really, I guess, celebrated today. It's celebrated tomorrow or whatever. But those who are able to and can comfortably do this, I'd like for our veterans to stand up, and we want to thank you for serving our country. So if you would please do that. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, brothers. And I know with our sister over here that she's served also as well, but is serving still. So we'll continue to honor her as well. But all over the country, we need to make sure, if you see a hat that says veterans on it, please go up and say something to them. I was stopped in this past week, grabbed something for lunch, and a Korean War veteran had his hat on. And he made sure I knew that he was 87 years old. And bless his heart, he's wondering why I was stopping. You know, I thought he thought I was a waiter or something. But I told him, I said, I just want to thank you for serving our country. And I asked his wife, I said, were you married at the time that he went off to the Korean War? And she said, yes, we were. I said, well, then I want to thank you for allowing the country to borrow him and use him. And as that distance is away, you continue to love him. So make sure you see them. You don't wait till Veterans Day to do that. You do it all year round. More veterans are actually wearing some kind of identification that they have been in certain war and stuff. So make sure that you either give them a handshake or give them a hug or pray for them right on that spot. One thing I've learned about North Carolina, you can pray in a restaurant and people don't hassle you. You know, Minnesota's a different story. You know, they're not as open to Christianity up north. So just want to make sure that you go ahead and do that. Now, what we want to do is we want to tackle into this because I don't want to be misunderstood about our prayer request. But I do want to talk about the seriousness of excluding and adding more to prayers that are about spiritual matters. Last week, we identified to ourselves that when it comes down to it, spiritual matters are what I would say higher in need and most importance than just physical matters. I understand that physical matters can affect spiritual matters. So that is where you can tie both of them together. When you get sick, when you get weary, it's a type of persecution physically. We may not be whipped because we're out spreading the gospel or thrown into prison or flogged or kicked or bruised or being threatened. But when your body hits disease of some sort, and actually, brothers and sisters, you know the reason why we're getting old? If you want to back it all the way back up to Genesis, you find out that it's a consequence of sin. It's a mankind thing. God never intended us for us to grow old. God never intended us to get diseases. He intended for us to be loving to him as he loved us and take care of what he's created and work the land. But it wasn't until sin that separated us from God that's when a consequence of sin is that we're going to get older, we're going to have diseases, and we're going to have to sweat to work real hard. We're going to have to, our physical things are going to be affected. So I understand that physical things affect spiritual things. So we need to be praying in a way for spiritual matters of those who are dealing with physical issues. Okay, so I'm not against physical prayers. It's just that probably 99% of my Christianity around church gatherings have been more towards praying for sick and never praying towards the spiritual matters of the sick. Okay? And we need to add that to our spirit. And I'll tell you why here in just a moment. So, a commitment to prayer must be prayers where I believe we expect a response from God. He's going to say, yes, my child, or no, my child, or wait, my child. Okay? But we need to be praying in a way that we expect God to move and respond to those prayers. Last week, this is on your notes, so if you weren't here last week, you can write these in. If you want to go look up the parable that Jesus was teaching in Luke chapter 18 about the persistent widow, or some people have subtitled it The Unrighteous Judge, and really it's about both of them. It's about this unrighteous judge that just said, look, you know, I'm not into the God thing, and I really could care less what people think. That's really what the unrighteous judge is about. But then this widow came, because he's a judge, and said, I need help in having justice against my adversary. And again, we're not going to go into that parable too much, but go read about that parable. Go examine that parable. Search that parable. Because she was looking for justice. The widows at that time definitely needed help. I mean, that's why James said, look, if you're looking to be religious in this world, then the religion that God really accepts is that you look after widows and orphans. That's the one he accepts. You know, not all these just ritual steps at an assembly. Let these things that we do here bring us joy and edify us and build us up and give us courage to go out and take care of people. For those who are in need. We take care of each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We take care of each other as neighborhoods. We can look for those things. I know it's overwhelming because there's an awful lot of people that are out there suffering and it seems like nobody cares. But we can at least be praying about their spiritual heart when we can't help in the physical sense. I can't cure cancer. I could pray that God would. But also I want to pray that their hearts doesn't run away from God. That they'll draw near to God. That maybe if cancer is not healed, that their last few days of their life or months or years would be about searching for God and getting forgiveness from God and be added to the kingdom so that they can be in heaven. And God doesn't care if you make it right with him yesterday and you die today. You're going to go be with him. See, a lot of times that we get into, and that's why Jesus taught about the whole thing about, well, what if somebody served the Lord for 30 years and somebody served the Lord for one day? They're both going to get the same reward. Isn't that incredible? You talk about justice and mercy. That's more than what I give. So that's more I got to learn. So, the persistent widow, real quick. We need to learn how to be persistent in our prayers. Keep praying until we feel that God has brought an answer. Okay? And we'll talk about how does he bring an answer and how we can even guarantee a favorable answer. And you're saying, oh man, he's really going to pull our leg. Mm-mm. Wait until we look at a couple of verses. Number two, insistent in prayer. Go to God and tell him. Now, can you imagine? You know, I look back at Moses when he led the children of Egypt out into the land. Those who know the story, were the children of Israel really, really just fired up to be obedient to God? Not at all. Okay, well, they were thankful they got out of captivity, right? At the beginning. But then they wandered around and wandered around. And then when they got to the area where God says, yes, I can use you. You can conquer these things and you can dwell among this land. They looked at the people and said, there's no way we can do that, Jose. No way. And so then God was so discouraged and angry at his children because they started grumbling and complaining and they weren't thankful. And so to the point to where, do you remember what God wanted to do? He wanted to destroy them and start all over. If I can't find my own children that will be obedient to me, let me start out with a new patch. Now, first of all, I don't want that to happen here. I want us all to be praying persistently and insistently that God can use us for his kingdom no matter what level he can use me. There's going to be some he's going to use a lot. There's going to be some that he may need to use a little. But I tell you one thing, even in the little things, it's a lot. And that's what we can try to learn, okay? So be insistent in prayer. Insist that God's will be done in all things. In that, I'm starting to learn, and I've got to learn this more and more. When I pray that God's will be done instead of mine, I really got to get mine out of the picture. Have you ever caught yourself praying to God kind of like, God, if you would do this, then I'll do this. Remember last week I talked to you about the lottery? Well, Lord, if you'd let me just win that $5 billion, I will give my tenth. Those are not the kind of prayers I would say to be persistent and insistent in. God just says, if you just seek me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, I will give the things that you need to you for survival. I may give more to others than you. I may give more to you than to others. But it's all to be done and be used for my glory. That's really what it is. Okay? So, we got persistent prayer, insistent prayer, consistent in prayer. The widow consistently, she didn't give up. She didn't say, oh, that judge is just an old grouch. He's not going to listen to me. He could care less. Well, the judge says he could care less. But because this woman just kept on coming, does that mean we just need to nag God to death? I don't think nagging's really a good explanation for it. I think we just keep on coming back to God because really Jesus tells the parable that's saying that, look at an unjust judge. He ends up giving to her what she needs. Don't you think that God, being God, would give you what you need if he does? And that's really that whole lesson about the parable of the persistent widow. Now, what do we want to tackle today? I want to go over three keys to an effective prayer. How to make our prayers powerful. How do we make our prayers? What words do we use in order to be able to let God's will be done? So here's our first one. An important understanding to letting my prayers be very powerful, number one, needs to be, and we'll find it in 1 John chapter 5. So are you there? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Listen to this. I'm going to step up to 13, read down through 15. So here we go. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay? I'm writing these things because you believe. Any believers this morning, okay? Do you believe in his name, that the Son of God, Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe that, then you will receive eternal life from him, living for him, okay? Now, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. Because you believe that Jesus is a son, but this is the confidence that we have. First of all, have you ever entered into prayer where you lacked confidence in the prayer or confidence that God would answer it? I think sometimes my prayers have gotten to a point at periods of times where I would doubt God would give me what I think I needed. And really, that might be true. I can doubt that. Because what I think I need sometimes is not what I need. Is that understandable? It's just like our children. You know, what they think they need is not really what they need. And God knows that with you and I, and it doesn't matter if you live on this earth for 100 years. You're still his child. Okay? So, let's go down further. This is the confidence we can have in approaching it. That if we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Okay? Now, that can get a little confusing, especially when you start thinking about it in a human way, in a physical way. So I prayed for cancer, Kevin. I'm confident that God would heal me of my cancer. He didn't. And all confidence leaves. I know we get caught up into the love and the mercy of God, and we need to. But I started to realize, too, sometimes I'm not asking for the right things for my prayers to actually be guaranteed to be answered. There is sometimes God won't hear my prayers. But I've heard Christians say, all you have to do is just pray, God will hear you. Well, not always. If I ask according to his will, he'll hear us. If it's a selfish prayer, I didn't hear that. I'm not going to answer. That'll make you more selfish. I'm not going to do that. So, what's he saying here? According to his will. I've had Christians tell me there's no way to know God's will. Really, I think I started to realize I didn't know God's will, but there's one way to find out God's will is read the scriptures. dive into the scriptures and get to know him. You're going to find out his will. Then you can start praying for it. Okay? I'll get to that in just a moment. So, a powerful, effective prayer starts with us praying prayers that are according to his will. That's where the confidence comes from. You can go down through a journey with Jesus. Maybe that's a series of lessons I can start here real soon once the holiday season's over with and we're not just in and out all the time. But you look at Jesus praying what we know as the Lord's Prayer, what's involved with that. Jesus always prayed that brought glory to God's name. He actually asked to glorify himself for God. He also prayed for other believers. He prayed for unity and love. He prayed for God's will to be done. And he prayed while he hung on the cross right before his death to forgive people who were killing him. Now, there's some powerful prayer there. And there's prayer in Jesus' example about the will of God. Now, number two, I didn't give you enough space to write this all down, but number two would be, okay, number one, effective prayer comes from praying according to God's will. The second one is a model from David, not so much from Jesus' prayer life, but David's prayer life in Psalm 25. That's the Acts prayer. Okay, so if you have a little room to jot it down, Acts stands for praying with adoration. You adore God with your words. Tell God how much you adore him. Tell him what he's done that you're just amazed about. He wants to hear those things. He wants to know in relationship with you, do you notice what I've done for you? Are you taking some kind of recognition? How many parents in here has ever wanted their child just to say thank you? That's all you want. Nowadays, it's like I try to remind Kayla, and I said, all it takes is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Sin. All I need. Thank you. I don't need a whole paragraph going down through all the emotion thing. I just need thank you. Amen. And God wants us to adore him. So jot down this passage to look up at home. Psalm 48:1. Look how David in Psalm 25:1 through 22, actually it's a whole chapter, adored God. Number two, or actually letter C, make a confession. I mean, 1 John 9 says we need to confess our sins to God and to each other. But make a confession to God. I believe God wants us to know and recognize that we are sinners. And know and recognize the specific sin we're struggling with. I think he wants us to show it to him. He already knows it. Don't hide it from him because you can't hide it from him. Don't try. What you do is you just open up to God saying, I know you know my thoughts. You know my thoughts when I got up this morning. You knew my thoughts when I stubbed my foot. You knew my thoughts when that guy cut me off in the center and I just shook my fist at him. You knew in my heart when I went by that person that held that sign that said, please help me. You knew what was in my heart. So God, make my heart pure. There's your example of praying according to God's will. Because does God want to make your heart pure? Absolutely. and we should want him to make our hearts pure. Now, I'm sitting and watching. I'm looking over a room. No matter how many people have left here, you can tell all these people they need to get online and listen to this lesson. Okay? Because we've got to learn together that we've got to adore God in our prayers. We need to confess to God. He knows them, but he wants us to know it because we need to lean on him to get the sin out of our life. But it's going to take the blood of Jesus and a respond by thankfulness to do that. It's a determination to live for him. So we confess in our prayers. The T of Acts that David modeled was the prayer of thanksgiving. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. This is a soapbox of mine. I forgot to bring it to stand on. But this is a soapbox of mine. We go from Halloween, everybody's decorated up. I've never seen so many skeletons in my life. I thought they were supposed to be all underground. I was driving over to the Killian's home for the hot dog hayride, and it was funny, from a distance, I'm sitting there thinking like, man, that couple's pretty skinny. Well, what had happened was that they put a husband and wife skeleton sitting at the lake in the bench, overlooking the lake. And I thought, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. Well, anyways, people have fun with that and everything. And then soon as November 1st gets here, guess what we jump to? Christmas. Okay? And it's not about because we want to celebrate Jesus' birth. It's about now start buying the gifts that I want to get. I got my candy now. Now go, Mom and Dad, and get the toys, right? That's what starts in the minds of our children. I got my candy. Now go get the toys. And it's this me-ism kind of thing, and all God wants us to do is just say, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for sending your son to model a life. I know I struggle with living, but let me just share with you, God, I struggle with living with the same attitude as your son. I struggle with living when he says that I should love as he loved me. I have a hard time loving this person over here the way that Jesus has loved me. Purify my heart so that I can show them Jesus with my love. That's praying according to God's will. Okay? Then the last one, S, is supplication. This is really petitions. You're going down through a list of things that you would like to see happen. I want to see our church grow spiritually. I want that spirituality to be shown in the lives of the people, because the more we become more like Jesus, the more we're going to love one another the way we should, and the more that we're going to love our neighbor as we should. And then some of those, Father, please, just by one invitation, if they would just come one time, they might hear something, or they might see something, or they might meet somebody that shows their love, your love, through them, and they may be drawn to you, and maybe we could sit and open up the Word of God with them. Maybe we could share with them the grace and the mercy that you've given to us. We want to share with them the same message that we're responding to, and that's the gift of our salvation, to the point to where they might want to desire to be a follower and a disciple of Jesus. In his name, I pray, so be it. Praying according to God's will. May his will be done in you. I mean, I just went down through a whole list of things. That's a petition. I'm petitioning that more lost souls will be saved. I want to see it happen. I don't want to see that when people go on vacation, it seems like half the congregation's gone. I want to find other people that when half the congregation's on vacation, it doesn't seem like anybody's missing. That's just what I want to see. Use me. Alert me. Give me the courage to ask some spiritual leaders in this church family to train me. I will say, out of my 25 years, and I know it's probably going to sound negative, and the only thing is I can just say I'm in the same boat that you are. Out of my 25 years of ministry, I've had very few people come up to me and say, train me so I can live according to God's will. I've had a few people say, if you ever stop challenging me, I'm going to another congregation. I've had a few people saying, if you keep challenging me, I'm going to another congregation. This is how serious prayer, I believe, is. How God can use us as a congregation for His glory, I believe, begins with praying according to His will. So we pray a prayer of confession. I need cleansed. Cleanse all of us. When's the last time? I don't know. I don't know Barbara's sin. Unless she would be willing to come to me and say, Kevin, I've got a sin that I need to confess. Now, she don't need to come to me like a priest, even though I'm a priesthood of all believers now. She don't have to come just because I have this preacher role and you got to go to the preacher. No, all the believers here are the priesthood of all together believing in Jesus. So you can go to another sister, you can go to another brother, Blake, and just say, I just need prayers here. The thing is, what would be wrong for me is to go to Blake and say, I know you're a sinner, you better confess it right now. Then he doesn't willingly do that. When he willingly understands that God wants to cleanse him, and one of those ways is to confess it to God and go to a brother to ask for prayers. You know one thing, the reason why I can't get on to Blake about his sin is because I stand before him as another sinner. I need areas in my life that I could ask him, and it may be different. That's what the discipleship groups, I pray that we could just decide to say, let's find a schedule that we're used to instead of piling on the schedule, but a schedule that you're used to where maybe sometime we can meet here at the building, maybe sometime we can meet at somebody's home. But to develop relationships to the point to where I know that I could be able to sit, because I just want to pray according to God's will. Prayer. And hey, maybe I don't go to somebody. Maybe they're not mature enough. There's a lot of immature people spiritually. But you'll know a mature one when you find one because they'll involve themselves in your life. And you'll be able to ask them to hold things confidentially and they'll hold it. But there's nothing confidentially between you and God. See, even if Blake never ever got to the point to where he confessed to me, God already knows. And God's the one, after he dies, that will give him eternal life, not me. But it's good to confess with one another. That's what James chapter 5, 16 says. It's good to confess one another. Really, what it is admitting. It'd be like with me and David meeting sometime. We're just sitting down and just sharing our life and everything. And just I just want to say, I've got sin I'm struggling with. I'm not going to be specifically telling you this, but I guarantee you it's more about attitude. It's not more about an action thing, but would you be praying for me about my attitude? I need prayers for that. I want to become more like Jesus in my attitude. That's the kind of relationships I think God will start blossoming if we just know how to do them. So I'm going to do these more how-to. Cammie's always challenged me. She just said, you can get up and preach about praying according to God's will, but we never know what's that mean. And so hopefully I've given you some examples this morning of how to pray to God's will. All you have to do is this. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Go down to the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Before you run into the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to look at the acts of sinful nature are obvious. If you got any of those acts of sinful nature, confess them to God, ask him to cleanse you. If you need accountability for it, sisters, ask a sister. Brothers, ask a brother. To just check with you and to encourage you and to pray for you. Then you get down to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we're going to go down through it on Wednesday night, and here's how it ends up. We're going to start looking at how do we love as Jesus loved? Now, how many of us will have to confess before that we don't? Everybody. Okay, we're done. All we have to do is just ask God, give us the power of your Spirit, because I've tried to love as you love, and I can't do it with my own power. But the power of your Spirit living in me, I can. I can show Jesus to other people. And I want to learn how to love people like him. And now I'm going to go out and start doing it, and I want to share with other people how that's happening. Anybody need patience in here? That's pretty good, though. See, all the ones that raised their hand, look at the ones that didn't raise their hand, and they will help you learn the patience, okay? Which would be pretty good. But that we hit and miss on patience, right? Depends on what day it is. Yeah. Well, how do you become more patient? I mean, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's an evidence of the Spirit living inside you. Don't let Satan do this to you. Well, I'm impatient at sometimes, and I get a little frustrated. Oh, I guess I don't love the Lord. I understand my weakness. I love Jesus, and I'm going to make every effort to learn how to grow to be more patient. Because I know I'm not. But I love the Lord, and I want to show him. And I want to put it into practice. And the more I practice it, the more it becomes me. And I do it more often. That's with joy, that's with perseverance, and that's with self-control. I will have to tell you right now, I confess to you on a certain aspect of my life, and you're looking at it, I lack self-control. And I want the Spirit of Jesus to be seen in me. Because my health's not getting any better because of my lack of self-control. And when I learn that and want to love Jesus more with it, I'm going to be healthier. I think those are prayers that are according to God's will. He wants you to be patient. He wants you to be loving. He wants you to be kind. And when you're not, and you're willing to be, and you confess it to him, he will make you more kind. But get ready to put it into practice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the listeners. This is just real life. And you're about real life. And sometimes we smothered real life with, vague kind of prayers. Help us to be more specific in our prayers. Help us to have a prayer room at home or a prayer place that nobody else knows we're praying, but we go there because we know of your existence. And help us to pray for each other. And help us ask each other to pray that we would have a growing spirit of yours inside of us that we're pursuing. And that we just need help and encouragement from other brothers and sisters. Father, I understand there's an awful lot of sick in a physical sense. And I pray this church doesn't hear from me, let's quit praying for the sick people. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking for us to start praying for spiritual matters, because when we're not living for you, we are sick, even though our bodies are healthy. And Father, I pray that we will see through that and see the sickness of the Spirit so that we can live by your Spirit. I pray that this has been helpful. Thank you for their time. Thank you for their endurance. And I pray that we can help each other put this into practice. And it's through Jesus Christ's name we pray and say together, amen. All right. I know Tim will be in the back. I'll be right here. And what song are we going to sing? I want to be a worker for the Lord. All right. Hey, this is a prayer song, so let's stand and sing it.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray. In the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker, help me, Lord, to lead the lost and erring to thy word that points to joys on high, where pleasures never die, in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord.
You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, anyone who's not here today, please encourage them to get the recording online and listen to what Kevin said today. Amen? Amen. A few announcements here to make. And we want to continue to be in prayer for those that are on this list. Yes, many of them are physical needs. We of course do need to pray for that, but I would encourage you to also consider spiritually what these people may need as well. Maybe if they are suffering physically, they need some spiritual encouragement. And not only pray, but contact them. Call them, text them, visit them, send a card. You know, as we heard earlier, cards make a lot of difference. Don't forget Megan, you know, some praise that she's feeling happier now than she was. Megan Bibby, the gallstones, the entire gallbladder was removed. Okay. The entire gallbladder was removed?
Yes.
Okay. You know, praise God that Tom is back with us today, Tom Killinger. He sent us this card. It says, thank you. Two small words for such a big feeling. The card itself says, your kindness really made a difference. Your thoughtfulness really touched my heart. The gratitude I feel really can't be put into words. And then Tom wrote, dear church family, I want to thank all the ones who sent cards and all the ones who prayed for my healing. I believe it was through these prayers that the great physician guided the hand of the doctor placing the needles that I am now 80% pain-free. I give all the praise and glory to him. And he quotes 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Amen, Tom. Praise God for that. Blanche Fitch requested prayers for her lifetime friends in Huntington, West Virginia. There's a daughter, a mother, and a brother live together, and the daughter is the caregiver for all of them. The daughter is just now beginning to get over the flu. Her brother goes next week for throat biopsy, and the mother so far has evaded the flu. So these are near and dear to Blanche. Please remember them in your prayers. And we also have a card here given to us from the Strouds. Dear church family, thank you so much for the basket filled with goodies from North Carolina and the special North Carolina book with notes from all. It is very special and means so much to us. We will miss you, but we will stop by. Love, Tim, Missy, and Drew. So if you've got their address and send them cards, hold them to that. Remind them. They've promised to stop by. Let's see. There's so many things here. Am I missing anything? Oh, yes. Our sister Ann Stasny, if you haven't heard already, slipped this morning and fell. She injured her ankle. We don't know if it's broken or just sprained, but she's at the hospital for the time being. And my own son, Kendall, he works as a prison guard, and there was an incident this morning with four inmates. And thank goodness within 8 seconds, he says, there were 16 officers present. But during that 8 seconds, Kendall was injured, had to go to the hospital, but he's okay. Nothing but a dislocated thumb and many bruises. So please remember him. I'll have to make a confession. Whenever Kendall told me this, you know, I was obviously concerned, as a father would be. And whenever I found out he was okay, I asked him, well, what about the inmate? Kendall said, he's in worse shape. Now, for a second, I felt good. Great, he got what he deserved. A few seconds later, I began to think about it and realize, no, that is not the right attitude. That is the wrong attitude to have. I should have the attitude of, I wish there were no uprisings, no problems, no inmates fighting back. So we need to pray for each other like that, that we would always have the right attitude about things, because even though that attitude lasted only a couple seconds, nothing came of it, sometimes brief bad attitudes can still have dire consequences. So let's remember each other, let's confess our sins to each other, let's pray for one another. If you will, go with me to our Father in prayer. Oh Lord, as we consider everything we've been learning lately, Sunday school class and hearing the lessons that Kevin's been teaching, God, it just seems sometimes our prayers just feel so inadequate. Because we don't know how to pray. But God, as we're learning, you are our Father, and we can come to you like any son could a father, and just bring everything to you. Father, we want to confess our sins to you. I pray that we would. Father, we want to adore you. Thank you for everything that you have done for us, even though we don't deserve it. As humans, as your creation, I mean, we look back through history at the atrocities and things that
that have happened. And then we consider the things in our own lives, while they may pale to comparison to some of those big things through history, it's still bad enough in our own eyes, Lord. Things that we're not proud of, things we'd rather hadn't happened. Father, we just thank you that through all that, that you can forgive us, that you can see past all those things. Help us to get past all those things in our lives. Father, we just pray that you would continue to bless us as you have so much. We pray for your continued guidance. We pray for your continued protection. Fathers, we're talking about, again, this morning, guidance, protection. You know, those can be just generic things, but Father, in each of our lives, we each need protection. As I was talking earlier, the men that work in jails and prisons, they need physical protection there. But all of us need spiritual protection. Satan is around us, attacks us constantly. Father, we just need you to protect us from him and just to keep us safe. Father, as we go about the week now, just pray that you would help us to remember to pray to you. Our lives should just be filled with prayer all day, every day. Yes, we should have an inner room or something similar to go to have some really good alone time with you. But even when we're just sitting at our desk or running to catch the city bus or walking from class to class, driving to work, driving home, all of these are opportunities that we could pray to you. Help us, God, to make the most of all those opportunities in our lives. We thank you now for Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Before we have the final song, I have a very important announcement I need to make. And I really kind of wish there were more people here. Otherwise, I may have to do this again next week. But this announcement is something that's been planned for a little bit now. It was almost 3 years ago that Foyle, Purcell, and I accepted the call to become shepherds or elders of the flock here in Hickory. Between the three of us, we managed to visit almost every family at least once. Between the three of us and Kevin, we discussed and shared our vision for the future of God's church. We felt it was a vision that God had given us. We've cried and prayed over problems, sicknesses, and deaths. And Foyle's passing was especially hard for us. We've rejoiced and thanked God for good news, good health, and new babes in Christ. At the time, we conceded that not knowing what the future may hold, we may want to rotate one or more of us off and ask others in the body to step into the role. For the past year, we've been very busy, not only with responsibilities of being a shepherd, but with our jobs and families. Sometimes it's been difficult as we've had to give up something we wanted to do for something that we needed to do. In fact, it's gotten to the point in my own life that responsibilities of my job, my family, my extended family, and my home have taken so much time that I find it difficult to tend to the needs of the body of Christ. Therefore, it is with much regret that I'm stepping back as being a shepherd of this body. Naturally, this leaves a vacuum, raises a lot of questions. Who will replace me? Is there anybody? What if there is no one? These are all good questions. Before I try to answer them, let me assure you that my decision is far from a knee-jerk reaction. I've thought it over, prayed continually about it. I spoke to Purcell and Kevin as far back as 4 or 5 months ago. We've all prayed about it together. I announced it to our leadership team just over a month ago. I'll explain that leadership team in a minute, but they have been praying about it as well during this time. After all that time, I've got to be honest, I'm still not 100% sure it's God's will that I should step back. But I'm sure that if it's not his will, that he will block the way and will turn me on the correct path. I'm also not sure how God will take this body of believers forward. And that fills me with some unease, but we have to trust God because it is his body after all. So what would the future leadership of this body look like? Well, Foyle, Purcell, Kevin, and I, and our wives have always met on occasion with the other men who 3 years ago were put forward as potential elders. We also had asked another person and a past elder to join that group. We call that our leadership team. We seek their opinions and their wisdom from time to time. They are wise people. We call them the leadership team because they all have been or are leaders in the church of one sort or another. So Kevin Purcell and I have asked some men in the group to pray and seek God's guidance and his will as to serving as a shepherd. Remember, this group consists mostly of those selected previously to serve as shepherds. So some men are considering it. Should they feel God's calling, we plan to put them before the church for approval before appointing them to the role. Should none feel God's calling, then we have decided that the eldership would be dissolved until such time as the leadership team can decide how to proceed. We trust that leadership team will remain to carry out whatever business is needed by the church in the interim. It's unfortunate I make this announcement today in Purcell's absence. We had decided with Kevin that I should make the announcement today, and when it became apparent that his family would be gone, I suggested postponing it, but he said no, I should go ahead with his full support. I hope and pray that I have your support as well. It's been an honor serving God and all of you. Thank you.
Pray together. Everybody stand and join a hand. Ah, Father, you knew what was going to be shared today before it was shared, and you explained it through Tim's heart. But Father, this is your church. I pray that we want to be your children, and that we will dive into your word to hear the call that you called all of us to. Father, the only reason why I feel that you're watching over this whole situation is I know that there's some areas in Scripture that you have asked us as men to tend to, as husbands, as fathers, and really, Tim's setting a great example of saying that he needs to deal with and share with and grow with those areas. But also we're asking for us as people that it's not about a position. It's all about a disposition. And that the disposition of our older ones here, the older ones in Christ, the ones who have been walking with him longer than others, the men that ask for your wisdom in order to be able to guide a family, I pray that they will step up and step forward. And it's not about owning a position, but sharing a disposition as a team working together to make sure we grow as a body of your Son in order to show him to a lost and dying world. And I know Tim's going to be a vital part of that. So, Father, this is not, I don't want to make this a sad thing. I want to see that this is your guidance for this period of time. Mm-hmm. And that fruit will be bore, and others will step up and say, you know, this church needs some help in this area, and I'm going to go ask to be involved in this way. Or I'm just going to listen to what they have to offer. If they hear pleas for Wednesday night or Sunday morning or discipleship groups, that I will make every effort to build relationships with other people that Christ wants us to have. It's all of us today that needs to respond. We just want to thank you for our brother and his service. And we thank you for Debbie, too. I know she's serving her mom after the death of her father. And Father, really, when you hear that call to take care of family, friends, and loved ones, we are doing your will. But let us not forget that we're in this together as a body of your Son. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, we lift him up, and your will be done in our lives. And it's through him we say together, amen.
Amen. Just looking at my notes here, something I did forget to mention. The young adults, they had a Friendsgiving dinner planned for this Saturday at noon. That's been moved to 6 p.m. So if you're under 55 and want to go to that, make notes that's been changed. Thank you.
If you're over 55 and want to go, feel free to crash our party.
Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies. Strong in the strength which God supplies through his beloved Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts, who in the strength of Jesus trusts, is more than conqueror. Stand then in his great might, with all his strength endued. But take to arm you for the fight. But take to arm you for the fight, the panoply of God. That having all things done and all your conflicts past, you may o'ercome through Christ alone. You may o'ercome through Christ alone and stand entire at last.
Y'all have a Jesus-filled week.